You're listening to KGVM Bozeman. This is Spirit of the Valley, and I'm your host, Katie Michael Sanchez. This show invites people from the Gallatin Valley to talk about faith and spirituality, and the ups and downs of being human and seeking connection with something bigger. When I'm not on the radio, I work as a healthcare chaplain and interfaith spiritual director. I love talking with people about where and how they find meaning in life, and pondering the big questions that faith brings up. I hope this radio show can offer a glimpse into the diversity of beliefs in the Valley and the journey of being spiritual people. Due to the pandemic, this interview was recorded over video chat, so you may hear some puppy noises in the background. Today's guest is singer-songwriter Amber Eichmann. She shares stories about her Jewish faith, her music, and what it's like to find belonging.
Welcome, Amber. It's so great to have you. I'm really looking forward to talking with you today. So we can just start if you want to just say a little bit about yourself, and then I kind of jump in with some questions. So
sure. Well, thanks so much for having me. I'm really excited to talk with you too, and so excited about this new show. What an amazing idea. So I work as the cantorial soloist and program director at Congregation Beth Shalom here in Bozeman. And I'm also a singer-songwriter. I have done a couple of albums here, recorded locally, and I've toured with them a bit. And, you know, I think overall, I think my mission statement for what I do is I create transcendent experiences through music. So whether that's in a spiritual setting or at a house concert or in a healing setting, that's my mission.
Wonderful. Yeah, that's awesome. We've just been kind of starting at the beginning. So growing up Jewish, what was that like for you? Were you here? Where were you? Kind of what was, lay the foundations.
Yeah. So I was born in Toronto, Ontario, in Canada. And I moved to Sarasota, Florida when I was 10 with my family. We wanted to change. And, you know, growing up, I didn't have a super strong connection to Judaism. Mm-hmm. I went to school for a little bit. And when we moved to Florida, I was like the new kid. So I was kind of behind, and I had to have like a private Hebrew tutor. They had to like take me out of class so I could catch up on my Hebrew. And that was like kind of embarrassing. And I just never liked Hebrew school, which is, you know, I just never liked Hebrew school.
Sure.
And I told my parents that I was miserable in Hebrew school and I didn't want to have a bat mitzvah, and if they made me, I would just be miserable for the rest of my life. Oh. They didn't make me, which was really nice. I appreciate that. And so I dropped out of Hebrew school, and then I really didn't have much of a Jewish connection besides, you know, on Jewish holidays, my family and I would make the traditional foods. Like we'd make latkes on Hanukkah, and we'd like the menorah, and, you know, we would go to synagogue pretty rarely, maybe a couple times a year. But, you know, I definitely had like a Jewish identity. Like I definitely like had a sense of like, that's a part of who I am, but it just like wasn't that important to me at the time. And it wasn't until I went to college that I really rediscovered this strong connection to it. And
so when you were younger and you were like not into the Hebrew school thing, which I can't imagine anyone in their middle school years being like, I want to go to more school of any kind.
Right, exactly.
But was there a sense of spirituality in anywhere else in your life? Or was it something you had interest in? Or did that come in college?
You know, I actually was really seeking spiritual connection, and I just didn't think that I could find it in Judaism for some reason. I remember getting this book as a gift from my mom called Conversations with God. And it's a New Age book. It's the author writes down what he interprets as answers to sort of these big life questions, the divine. And I was maybe about 12 or 13 when she got it for me. And I just remember feeling this sense of relief and peace when I read it. This feeling of I'm not alone, and I'm having all these crazy, like, preteen hormonal issues and, like, asking the big questions about who I am and what I'm doing here. And I was experiencing, you know, like, the typical preteen hormonal issues and asking the big questions, like, who am I and what am I doing here? And I was like a very angsty teenager. Like, I would like write poems in math class and cry. I would just cry in class. And I just, like, reading this book just made me feel like there's something more, you know, like there's more than my frizzy hair that I was teased about as a kid, and real love is different than, you know, the crush I had on the boy who flushed my love letters down the toilet. So I just found this real solace in this book. And I also, I remember doing Ouija board with friends, and, you know, for me, it was like, it was real. And I had like a candle lit, and I was trying to connect with my grandfather who had passed away. And, like, you know, I was just really, I was craving, like, I think I've always been spiritual. Like, I've always been sort of looking for something beyond, something greater than myself. And I hadn't found it in Judaism at the time. And, you know, when you're a kid, like, Judaism is, oh my gosh, I have to go to school at the end of school. Like you said, like, who wants to go to school after you're in school all day? So that's what it was to me at the time. So I was looking for spirituality elsewhere.
And it sounds like your family's connection to Judaism wasn't really a spiritual one either. Like you said, you kind of made the foods and went through the motions, but that it was maybe more of a secular identity.
Yeah, it was definitely more secular / cultural. We weren't super ritually observant. Like, we sort of kept semi-kosher. We didn't eat pork or shellfish, and we sort of tried to separate meat and dairy. But yeah, it was, and I feel very grateful for my upbringing, because I think that it really planted like this deep rootedness of the culture and the peoplehood, which is also an important connection.
So then you're off to college, and what did you find there?
So when I went to college, I was welcomed with a chocolate chip challah bread from Hillel, the Jewish campus organization. And, you know, what college kid isn't gonna just totally be won over by that?
Yeah, free food in college, perfect.
Yes, especially if there's chocolate involved. So I was like, all right, I'll go to Hillel. And I started going, and they found out that I was a music major, and they asked me to play guitar for services. And I was like, I don't know any prayers, but I'll try. And I did. And I started really liking the music. And then at the end of my freshman year, I decided to sign up for a Birthright trip, which is a free trip to Israel for young Jews. Mm-hmm. And I just was expecting to kind of have fun and ride a camel and eat some good food.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, float in the Dead Sea. But, and I did all those things. It was great. But, you know, it changed my life. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it was this moment, and we were in the Negev desert in the southern part of Israel. And the trip leaders told us to go off on our own and find a spot in the desert where we couldn't see anybody or any signs of civilization, and leave our cameras and our, you know, our mm-hmm. Israel cell phones and watches and everything, and come back in like roughly 10 minutes. So yeah, I went out and I just had this amazing experience. Like, it just, that was the first time I really felt this like real powerful connection to what I identified as God. And it gave me this sense of belonging. And, you know, I had really struggled in my freshman year of college. Like, I struggled with depression and suicidal thoughts, and I changed my major, and a boy broke my heart. And mm-hmm. I just, like, you know, I was trying to define myself by all of those external things, that like the title of my school and my degree and all of that. And sitting in the desert, I just realized that none of that really matters. Like, all the labels that we put on ourselves aren't really who we are. And I realized that who I am is a Jew, and like, that's mm-hmm. never going to go away. That is something that is part of my core. Like, mm-hmm. that's never going to leave me. And it goes really deep. And I'm sitting in the desert where my ancestors walked like thousands of years ago too. So it was super powerful. And just like, also, you know, it was like a heritage connection and a spiritual connection.
Mm-hmm.
That reminder of like, I'm more than this material world, and I'm connected to something bigger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wow. What a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
So at some point you've clearly found some way back into the Judaism, and like, you're having these experiences and college and this belonging. So do you now find a spiritual home? Is like going back to synagogue and making sense, or sort of what comes up next?
Yeah. So when I got back from that Israel trip, I really wanted to explore more of this connection. And mm-hmm. I started getting really involved with Hillel, and I worked on their student board, and I was an intern, and I started doing song leading at a Reform synagogue,
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I had never really felt like I had fit into any denomination super neatly. My parents grew up conservative. We went to a conservative synagogue for a little bit. They didn't like it. We switched to Chabad, which is an ultra-Orthodox community. And so I had some experience there. And then I was working at this Reform synagogue, and like, I had some like nice experiences, but it wasn't until I found Jewish Renewal that like, I really just connected really deeply. And that happened after college. I went back to Israel and I studied there for 6 months in Jerusalem. And I found this community called Nava Tehila in the basement of this Reform synagogue in Jerusalem. And everybody was like in concentric circles and really close together. And it was so alive. Like, there was harmony and dancing, and I remember like I cried, I jumped, I like threw my guts out. And it just, I never thought that that was possible in like a service, you know, like
mm-hmm.
my was always like, you know, you go and you sit in a seat and you listen to somebody talk at you. And so when I experienced that, it was like a game changer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you able to find that when you came back from Israel? Like, were you able to still be part of that?
So when I came back, you know, I really struggled to find that kind of connection.
Yeah.
And I got a job at a Jewish nonprofit and kind of, you know, explored some synagogues around town. This was in Sarasota.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it wasn't really clicking for me. There was an independent community that popped up for the high holidays that I was part of that, you know, it got closer to what mm-hmm. I was really looking for. But no, you know, and I was still really wanting to nurture my own spirituality, but I was really doing a lot of that for other people as part of my job. Mm-hmm. And I was taking kids to Israel on trips, which was super rewarding. But yeah, like still kind of missing that piece. And I had gone to a couple of renewal retreats during that time when I got back, and I found it again. I was like, mm-hmm. okay, there's something going on here.
Yeah. What is your sense of what was going on when you say like it was going on here? Like what was that experience?
It's a good question, because I'm like still trying to put into words what it is.
Yeah.
But it's it's I guess it's partly it's ecstatic. It's this release of inhibition in a way. Like, I mean, yeah, it's like this full expression of prayer where you're not afraid to fully share your joy and your sorrow. And I think that's what prayer should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of us are really afraid because we're not used to being vulnerable and showing our emotions, especially in public or with strangers.
Mm-hmm.
So those experiences for me were like, I just get to be my full self.
Mm. Like,
there's no barriers. There's no boundaries. It's just, I'm just soul. Like,
yeah. I'm gonna
start sounding really woo woo for a minute, but like, yeah. Like I felt like I was just a soul, and mm-hmm. I felt connected to everybody on this like deep level, you know, mm-hmm. like, just it was just totally transcendent, like on a totally different plane.
Yeah.
And I think maybe, I guess for me, what does that for me is like music, and in particular lots and lots of people singing together in harmony, like
just
energy and the frequency, like literally the sound. Movement really does that for me.
Mm-hmm.
I love dancing. So when I get to just totally let it go and jump around and dance, like I'm in my happy place.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. And just like, I guess sort of a fluidity of being able to really express and really be present.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So in all of this, you've also got your own music happening. You're writing and performing, and what was that like for you, and how does that sort of fit or not fit with the rest of what's happening?
Yeah, so you know, music has been my greatest love, like since I was a little kid, and I started writing songs when I was like in that angsty teenager phase, like 12 or 13. And I think songwriting has always been like this very spiritual thing for me. It feels like it comes from somewhere beyond me. And it's also like this way of really connecting with like my core, which I also sort of see as like in the Jewish tradition. And I think in other traditions too, there's this idea that every person has a spark of the divine. So I see songwriting as connecting with that spark.
Mm-hmm.
Again, just like that something beyond my physical self. And so, you know, I have written songs for a really long time. And when I got back from Israel, from living there and like was working at the Jewish nonprofit, and things were just sort of like okay, but not really where I wanted to be, I was feeling like, you know, I really want to give this music thing a shot. Like I went to college for music, and everyone was always like, what are you going to do with your music degree? Like, are you going to be able to make money? And of course I was like, I don't know. I guess that's what I'm supposed to do.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's all about money, I guess. So, so yeah, like I realized, you know, I was afraid to really fully go for it because it's scary and it's like a little unconventional. And so I decided that I really wanted to make that a priority.
Mm-hmm.
And really focus on music. And at the same time, I was also having this longing to come out west. And
mm-hmm.
I had never been west of Missouri, but I would like sit at my desk at work and look at pictures of the mountains.
Mm-hmm.
In this part of the country. And I started applying for jobs. And, you know, at the time I was like, I'm just going to get like a serving job or something. So I mm-hmm. just like go to work, come home, and then focus on my music and write or whatever. Cause like when you work in nonprofit, like it has to kind of be your whole life in a way.
Right. Yeah.
Or it doesn't have to be, but it often feels like that.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, so I ended up getting a job in Yellowstone as a dishwasher.
Mm-hmm.
So I came out and worked in Yellowstone for a season, and then I traveled a bunch and I was writing a lot on the road, and I was just going to all these places that I always wanted to go, like all over the West, like Utah, Arizona, California. And like visiting a lot of national parks and spending a lot of time in nature and just by myself on the road. And like, it was an amazing experience to really get to know myself better, the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Like, when you're on the road for so many hours by yourself, you can't help but confront everything that's going on. So yeah, and I had enough songs to make my first album. And I came across a producer named Chris Cunningham, who lives in Bozeman and does amazing work here. And I really, really wanted to work with him. And I came here and made my first album. And then I did another one with him a couple years later.
Wonderful. So we're going to listen to some of your music. And the first song we're going to hear is called Give Me a Home. Which I think I listened to after we first talked about things, and I thought it just fit well with your story of finding a home in Judaism and finding your home in the desert and being connected and also, you know, coming out west. So if you want to say a little bit more about it, and then we'll play it.
Sure. Yeah, it's a little bit of a play on that old "Oh, give me a home where the buffalo roam" song.
Mm-hmm.
And when I worked in Yellowstone, the servers used to sing that. They probably still do. They would sing that for people on their birthdays in the restaurant. So yeah, as I was wrapping up the season, I was like really sad to leave. And I was thinking about that song and how I was sort of setting off to go travel with no destination. And I was looking for a home. You know, I was kind of looking for a place that fit. And I was kind of living this nomadic life, and you know, I guess you could sort of make a lot of ties to like the whole wandering Jew sort of idea there. I think that I've really I have really found a home here in Bozeman. Like, I really feel like I'm going to get spiritual, but I feel like I was called here. Yeah. And I feel just like so connected to this place, like, and also just sort of the landscape too. And I think that's why I ended up in Yellowstone. So yeah.
All right. Well, let's hear it.
Oh, give me a home. I am set out to roam. Is there somewhere I can belong? Another bag packed, and there's no turning back. I've only been a guest for so long, and the snow's coming in, freezing over the life that I grew. I'm flying south. Oh, I wish you could keep me. I had hoped you'd receive me. I'll come back when the yellow light reflects off the stone. Don't know where to go. I need some place to grow with my feet grounded when the pools. Oh, how can I leave these mountains, these trees? My room's empty, my heart is full, and the sun's going down, setting over my time in this land. Was it ever I gave here, but I'll come back when the yellow light reflects off the stone.
Amber Eichmann with Give Me a Home off her album Free.